Say after me, our Father,
in the name of Jesus,
as we look into your word, in this year, in this believers' convention, we behold Christ as he sees us in himself. He is glorified. We are edified. We function as we ought to function. All trust, revelation, and target are expressed through us in this house. We all live today edified, and Christ is glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you survivors? So, I have a teaching, a long teaching, but as I came to meet you today, the Holy Ghost said, I should show us something. Hallelujah. A long teaching. But we're not going to start that from tonight. But tonight will be like an intro into what we'll look at tomorrow. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you following me? Acts of Apostles chapter number 2. That's our theme text, right? For Believers Convention. Are you with me? It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Take note of that. See, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them the divided tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Did you see that? Hallelujah. The Bible says they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Take note of key points. It says they were in one accord, in one place. Did you get that? In one accord, in one place. I will just share with us in today's short exhortation on what I tagged, yielding to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Yielding to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He says, they were in one accord in one place. That is very vital. In one accord will mean they were in one mind. I only, they were in one mind. Everybody does what everybody is doing. That is one accord. When you have one accord, means, you know, in the military, they know they call you are in one formation. You know, you can be in a parade and you're yelling left, right, and you're doing right, left. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you were to be in that plateau, you are a clown. You understand? Because from the head to the last person on that, okay, let me use voice today. So that means on that color pattern or section, is it? Yeah? Section, right? Section 1, 3, oh. Okay, no, imagine that. I'm using voice today because majority of us wear voice today. Hallelujah. So, okay, you just want to say, number one section, halt! And you just want to do, that person is not in one accord. Right? Because when the section commander says halt, everybody halts. One accord. Hallelujah. One accord means we are doing the same thing. Nobody is a foreigner. Glory to God. Look at chapter 1, verse 14. Look at chapter 1, verse 14. Because all this continued with one accord in prayer. Look at what they were doing. Now, When it's time to pray, they were all praying. I don't need one call. I follow in this. They were all in one call.
Glory to God.
Let's look at what happened prior to this time. You understand? Prior to this time, what instructions have they received? Right? We have to look at the instruction they've received that made them stay in one accord, and they will not know what they did. Hallelujah. In one accord. Hallelujah. We need to know what they did. Hallelujah. And within a few minutes, we'll look at that. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. This is Jesus speaking to them. I'll start from verse 44.
You know, I can't just jump to 49.
I'll start from 44.
Luke 24, verse 44.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, and he said to them, these are the words which I speak, or which I spoke, I'm knocking them, which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. Now Jesus is explaining scriptures to them. Hallelujah. So all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the book, in the law of Moses, in the Psalms, the prophet and the Psalms concerning me. We'll look at this tomorrow. Don't worry your head. Hallelujah. Just flow with me. Hallelujah. We're going to dwell here. But we don't just dwell, we'll dwell here. You understand scripture. Hallelujah. Now let's look at verses 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. How did he do that? They are teaching. Hallelujah. That is, you know, this is Luke's interpretation of what Jesus did. In verse 44, he says he opened their understanding. That is the way Luke will write. This is Luke's summary of what Jesus did. Now, when Jesus went through the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, Luke said he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. Meaning, when he taught them the scriptures, their understanding were opened. Are you following me? Now, let's go up a bit. Now, verse 46. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Are you following me? He said, for the Christ to rise from the dead the third day. Verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Look at this tomorrow. To all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witness of these things. Look at verse 49. That's where we're going. Look at verse 49 of Luke 24. It says, behold. What did he say? He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, take note of this word, upon. I send the promise upon. Are you following that? I send the promise. Remember, we looked at the word promise, right? And that's why we needed to have that teaching before now. Hallelujah. The promise. Right? The promised land, right? How? We looked at the promised land. So, for those people who are still singing,
what's that song again?
Remember your promises. When I remember his promises, I shall.
That is just funny.
Yeah, remember? He has promised he will never fail me. I will follow him. And what is in their mind this morning in their account? What's the difference between you and the guy that sang Gucci? Oh, glory to God. They think that is blessing. No. Hallelujah. In a few weeks' time, we'll look at the blessings of God. So now you understand what the blessings of God really are. Though we have, we've discussed it in one of our teachings, but we'll look at it. Hallelujah. What the blessings of God really is. Hallelujah. So you don't just sit down and be hoping, oh, Abraham, blessings are mine. And what you are thinking of is where?
Abraham, blessings are mine.
Hundredfold.
I am blessed.
And that's what's in your mind. What's the difference between you and Michael Jackson?
Fine, wasn't it?
Hallelujah. So he says, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Hallelujah. I will say that word promise, the promise is the Holy Ghost, right? Now, take note of that word upon. Please permit the way I just jump into that conclusion. Yeah. We'll get to see that. Okay, it says, promise of my Father upon you. Say, but tarry. Take note of Jesus' instruction. Say, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. Now we're going to break this. I use the Bibles. The word endued. Remember, take note of the word upon. That word, don't lose sight of it. Now, the word endued is from the Greek word enduo. It's from the Greek word enduo. Enduo means to wear. You understand me? It means to wear. Like the way you put on a clothes. That's enduo. He says, tarry in the streets of Jerusalem till you are endued. Now, that till you are endued, the word endure, the way it's used in scriptures is in Colossians. Paul will use it as this. He said, we have put on Christ. Did you get that? We have put on Christ. That's what endure, to put on. And it shows one's effort. It is a word used for one's effort. It's not a third party's effort, it is your own effort. So when Jesus says, tarry here in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued with the power, with power from on high, it's referring to, it's not the power coming and hitting you unaware. No. It is you putting on the power from on high. But how will I put on the power from on high? High. Where is high? You know, the conventional man who is not born again, and those who are born again but not learning in the scripture to think on high will mean from the sky. That's not what Jesus meant. On high is not from the skies. We're going to look at on high right now. I need us to dissect those words from Jesus that will now see what happened in Acts 2. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So on high is not from the skies. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what is on high? Let's see that. With power from on high. We're going to look at that word power from on high. But let's start from the word on high. And then we'll now look at power. And now see that the power is in the on high. Are you hearing me? The power is in the on high. Now what is that word on high? On high doesn't mean from the skies. On high, that word on high is used of where Christ is. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, are you there with me? I want to read from verse 17. Okay, I'll start from verse 16. He says, do not cease to give thanks, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, that is revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us world, who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and seated Him in His right hand in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. Some scripture will say, seated him on high. So where is Jesus sitting? On high. Now, verse 21 says, far above all principalities and powers, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and has made him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the flesh of him, and filled all in all. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the cause of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the train of disobedience, among whom you once conducted yourself in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. For but God was rich in mercy, because of his love, great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By his mercies and raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Made us sit together in the heavens. So he made us sit together on high with him. Now he said he is seated where? On high. Where is Jesus sitting on high? Meaning, he said, look at that chapter 1, verse 21, verse 20. We walked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. When he raised him from the dead and seated him on high. When did that happen? When he raised him from the dead. And the resurrection. Hallelujah. It speaks of resurrection fact that Jesus is on high. So, when you say Jesus is on high, is Jesus sitting in the cloud? No. If Jesus is on high, where is he sitting? You know, there are some people who think when you get to heaven, you see God the Father on the chair, Jesus on the right, Holy Ghost on the left. You think heaven is Nollywood? No. You think it's African magic? So when you just get to heaven like this, bam bam, you just see God sitting down. How do people call it again? Agidigba, the Agidigba one is sitting. You will be amused. Agidigba is sitting. And when you're not singing song, you now stand on back down. Can you just carry knowledge? African magic. What is it? Wrap it and put in the dustbin. This is Christianity we're talking about. We're talking about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. No, that vision has gone so rampant that you know when you pray, God is sitting at Jesus' head and you say, my son, go. And the son will not go. But when you now start praising, he will not stand up. You know what he's doing? You is the code that catch you when you praise. You know some people when they are praising, something like goosebumps just hit them. But God has called.
you are still joking.
When you know where he is, did you know where he is sitting? You will not think of that. Hallelujah. I don't give heed to such kind of teachings. I am. I don't give heed to such kind of teachings. You say, Oka kam, Heze de bube. What is doing you is habalish. You watch too many in Hollywood. And you hear me, you just see when what happens, you just get. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at it. Let's look at on high. What did Jesus say concerning on high? John chapter 14. I have limited time now. Let's just look at it. John 14. Hallelujah. Did that sound like God? When you are praising him, he just commands your blessings from the village. Will I believe in this country? John 14, 20. Oh, verse 18. I have a lot to say to you on this. Look at verse 18. It says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He had just told them in verse 16. He said, I will pray the Father that he will give you another almost paracletos, another comforter that he may abide with you. He calls them even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Hallelujah. Now in verse 18, I said, I will not leave you orphans. What is he talking about? In verse 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Verse 2, in my Father's house have many mansions. You know, those of you who think that you are building blocks in heaven, look at your life. He said, in my Father's house are mansions. Do you have mansions inside house or house inside mansion? Yeah. Hallelujah.
Well, you can only find that in the Bible. Beat your imagination, beat your grammar. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He's not talking about, you know, some people are just so spiritually damned. You are not thinking of block, damn with this mess in heaven. Can you just reason well? Hallelujah. No. He said, my Father's house are many mansions. That word mansion is the word moneh. Hallelujah. Many rooms. Now, the word moneh, I want to give you the interpretation or the meaning. Moneh in the Greek, it means a place where one stays to continue his work. A place where one stays to continue his work, to continue an assignment. See, my Father's house are many rooms. See, if you were not so, I would not have told you, I go prepare a place for you. So when he said, I go, he talks about his death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. Then in verse 18, now said, I will not leave you orphan. When he said, I will not leave you, where is he going to prepare, right? And that will signify his death, burial, and resurrection, right? He said, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. He never said goodbye. Glory to God. He never did. Glory to God. Meaning, Jesus never left the earth. He said, I will come to you. Look at verse 20. Oh, glory to God. Verse 20, he says, and at that day, the resurrection, right? You will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Where is Jesus? In me. Where is he on high? Where he stays? Where is he staying? In me. Hallelujah. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to them, if you love me, is this, those of you who have listened to message on vine and branch, is this walking love or the new birth? The new birth, thank you. Hallelujah. Say, if you love me, I mean, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home. That word home is that same word moneh in verses 2, where he said, I'll go prepare a place. In my Father's house are many mansions. That mansion, he said, we will make our home in you. May that mansion talks about where he and the Father will dwell. And where is that? In the believer. Glory to God. So the on high will be where he is, where we are, right? We saw that in Ephesians 2. And where is that? In the believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he else saying, he's living in me, that is the on high. That is the on high. That is the on high. Are you with me? That is the on high. He never said goodbye. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:18-20. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Say, go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am in you always, even to the end of the age. Meaning, Jesus never left the earth. He lives in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He lives in us. Are you hearing me? You know, he's coming back again, Jesus. No, you're missing it. We're going to have that teaching this year, hallelujah. I said that during, on GPLR, right? We're going to have that teaching this year, hallelujah. He never left the earth. No, he never did. Jesus never left the earth. Woo-hoo-hoo. Glory to God. We'll look at that tomorrow. When the angel said, as you see him go, you see him come. We'll see that. Don't worry. You will understand. Scripture, you know. Hallelujah. But you know, he never left the earth. He said, I am with you always. Any preaching that portrays Jesus Christ outside the believer is not the gospel. It is another gospel. Because Jesus is in the believer, seen in the believer, known in the believer, recognized in the believer, and is obeyed to the believer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, did you remember what he told Cephas? We'll look at that tomorrow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When he said that, the guy didn't know.
Hallelujah. But in the resurrection, it happened. They scattered all abroad, preaching Christ.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So let's just close this down. So the on high will be a believer. Now, another word to take out is what the power from on high. Right? The power. Now, what is the power? That word power is the word dunamis. Acts 1:8. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Now, remember we looked at that word, the promise coming upon, right?
Yeah.
Right? I've not given you the definition of upon. Right? I'm just explaining something. Now, he said, you shall receive power. That word receive is the word lambano. Lambano means to take of what you have. Do you understand me? Lambano is like this. This thing is mine, and I take it. That's lambano. To take, to use of what is yours. Now, where is the power that he's going to take? Remember, what we read from Jesus was the power was on high, right? I was saying, John is the believer. Let's see if there is a disparity. Now, he said, to take in Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Meaning, when he says, after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you, shall receive power. Now, when you use the word receive, it means the power is not far, the power is within. Because you are taking of what you have. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, quickly, verse 19 to 20. Oh, glory. Yielding to the Holy Ghost. Are you there with me? Ephesians 3, verse 19. Okay, let's just look at it. Now, it says, verse 19, it says, to know the love of Christ, which passes gnosis, which passes knowledge. It says, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we ask or think. He said, according to the power that works where?
Yes.
Where is the on high?
Yes.
Where is the power? In the on high, right? Power on high. And where is the power? In us. So, meaning, when Jesus said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. Jesus is telling them, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you take of what you have within you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, when he uses the word upon, he says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. Now, when he uses the word upon, at this point, when he was talking to them, were they born again? They were, right? We can't be doing study now. We did that last year, right? We did that study last year, Believer's Convention.
For last year, Believer's Convention. This is 2020.
Glory to God. Well, the last Believer's Convention, we did that. Glory to God. We said they were already born again. They were already born again. So, when he now says, when they are born again, what is the characteristics of a man who is born again? The Spirit of God dwells in him, right? Will come dwell, will come make a home in him, right? I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. That is the Aos Parakletos. I will come to you. Now, meaning when a man gets born again, the Holy Ghost lives in him. Now, when he now says, you will receive, I set the promise of my Father upon. Now, that word upon, is the word we're going to still see later on in this our study, is the word that has to do with a demonstration. That word upon. Now, I'm going to give you to the way it's done. It's an eyewitness account. Now, when an eyewitness, when you are doing a reporting of someone's word, and the person says upon, it means something is seen. Hallelujah. So what Jesus is saying is something is going to be seen. Is a demonstration. Hallelujah. So the promise of the Father upon is a demonstration of that promise that is within. So when Peter was to explain this in Acts 2, I was not going to look at it, but let's just look at it. Acts 2 verse 14. Let's just look at verse 16. Let's just jump to it. Acts 2:16. Look at what Peter said. say, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, say God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Do you see that? Upon. So, where is your upon coming from? Your upon is coming from the spirit within. Say, I will pour out of my spirit. Where is the spirit? Within. So, I will pour out. So, your upon is an overshadowing from within. Do you understand me? A taking of what you have within. How you me? So, the endue, be endued with power of my eye will mean to take of what you have within your upon. Hallelujah. And that will be seen, and that will be heard, that will be seen, heard. Do you know what I mean? People will see it, it will be seen to be heard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you see someone drunk, you say he's up. That guy is taken over by many wine. Right? Right? Hallelujah. So something is seen. That's why I say this guy is drunk. Glory to God. So when it comes to the things of the spirit, you take from within upon. And it is when you say the spirit is upon this guy because something is seen and heard. Hallelujah. So, was anything seen here? Yes. All of a sudden they began to speak with tongues. Hallelujah. What did they see? Let me tell you, nobody saw fire on anybody's head. They know those CR cable. No, there was no fire on anybody's head. That word, like tongues of fire, is an explanation of, you know, is a report. Do you understand me? So when you are reporting, it was, do you understand me? Is a reporting line, not just a, is a third party report. Do you understand me? Luke was not there. So when Luke wants to give that as a journalist, you say, there appear to them like cloven tongues as a fire. Maybe because of the way how they acted was with fire. Do you know what I mean? Glory to God. They saw things. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, they did not just speak in tongues. No! No! Hallelujah. Remember they said these ones are already drunken. Do you know what happened? So it was beyond brothers. No, 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 no. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look at something, chapter 4. Another Holy Ghost meeting like we have tonight. Chapter 4, verse 29. He said, now Lord, look at 4:29. Now Lord, look at that threat. And grant to your servant that with boldness they may speak your word. And by stretching out your hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through his name. I mean through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. This is not just balotos, sekete, balede. No, no, no. See, when they were saying the place, you know when they say the place was shaking? It's not the Israel was shaking. Hallelujah. Stand up first. Let me tell you something. When yes, it was shaking. You see, it is a report line. When you just hear it, it is like this. Everywhere. The whole place is shaking. Hallelujah. It's a report line. Meaning, it was beyond words. Though what must be part of it for the sake of it? They were yielding to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I want you must know that they were all in one accord, right? Right? Even in Acts 4, if you look at it, they were all in one accord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 24 of that Acts 4. So when they heard that they raised their voice to God with one accord, meaning they were in one accord. Hallelujah. So one accord, they said, everybody is going to do this same thing. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Look at verse 17. After verse 15. After they've gone to Samaria, they heard of the people of Samaria received the gospel. Look at verse 16. For us, yet he had not fallen upon them, and they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord, meaning they got saved. Hallelujah. And when then they laid hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, And when Simeon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' head, the Holy Ghost was giving, he offered them money. Meaning, Simeon saw something.
Because he saw some people, when they laid hands, things started happening. He said, you wanted to sow seed to us, money givers, cryptocurrency, prosperity preachers. This is your brother, Simeon. He said, man of God, let me sow into your life. That is it. I want to sow a seed. I want to sow a dangerous seed. I want to provoke the amount of God. The man of God. See, history had it that what he offered Peter is something that if you give to some ministers today. History had it that he gave, it was not just physical money, he showed him wealth. He showed him wealth. And said, just give me this. Just take all this wealth. Because the guy was a big guy. Oh, what did Peter reply? He said, your money perishes.
Hallelujah. Amen. That is a warning for those, you know, glory to God. I didn't see anything. I've seen a young preacher. Who are they? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So, let's go ahead.
You see, you know, the reason why your life is like this is because you have not sown a seed to the man of God.
Okay, let's go ahead. Where were we? Yeah, Acts 8. Okay, let's go ahead. Acts 10, verse 45. Look at verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Ghost fell. Woo, glory. And what happened?
On all those who heard the word and those of the circumcision were astonished, because the gift of the Holy Ghost had been poured out on the Gentiles. Meaning the Holy Ghost, I mean, the Gentiles did what the circumcision, those of the Jews, did in Acts 2. They said, what is happening here? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So meaning, glory to God. That's right. This is a Holy Ghost meeting. Then Paul now brings it up for us together. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. Oh, verse 26. He said, how is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. Meaning we can come together, all of us will have tongues, we'll have interpretation, we'll have signs, we'll have a teaching. Hallelujah. He said, let all things be done for edification. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, Paul writes to the church at Corinth like this. Because of the fact that in chapter 3, he said they have strife. But in the church at Ephesus, he wrote like that. Ephesians chapter 5, I said, he said, be not drunk with one when he says it. He said, but be thou filled with the Holy Ghost. When he said, be a person filled with the Holy Ghost, they knew what he was talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, sing it to yourself. Sing it to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He said, sing it and make it melody in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. So how do I yield to the Holy Ghost? How do I yield to the Holy Ghost? In one accord. Be in one accord. Do what everyone does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 23. First Corinthians 14. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, they come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers.
Uninformed or unbelievers are those who find it strange when people are yielding to the Holy Ghost. Uninformed. Is it? Kenneth Hagin will say, the reason why people don't yield to the Holy Ghost is one of these two things. He says, either they don't believe, or they are not taught. Either they don't believe, or they are not taught. And Master Crowe also repeated it. Hallelujah. Either they don't believe, or they are not taught. And because if you believe in the Holy Ghost, you believe in what he does. Hallelujah. Let's look at Jesus. And that is where we're going to end. Look at Jesus. So, how do I yield to the Holy Ghost? Number one, I have to be in one accord. I have to do everything everyone is doing. Okay, before we look at Jesus, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 30. Paul says, tells us something vital we must not lose. Verse 31. He says, but earnestly desire the best gift. And I show you a more excellent. He says, earnestly desire the best gift. Earnestly. So what will be the best gift? We were done this teaching before, but I'm going to tell us. The best gift, when believers come together, the best gift is the utterance gift. When believers are together, that's what he showed us in chapter 4. The utterance is tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. We can all yield to tongues. We can all interpret our tongues. And we can all prophesy. Hallelujah. All of us. This is not one prophet. God has said, go and bring coconut to Calabasas and tell me. No, don't need that. Hallelujah. Not the one telling you there's a bird that was flying. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you earnestly desire. That word earnestly desire is that you want to do it. You know, to earnestly desire is to be on fire. Hallelujah. You are just desiring. Ooh, I want to speak in tongues. I want to interpret my tongues. You know, you are earnestly desiring it. Glory to God. Is the need to be on alert. Be on alert. When believers go out for outreach, the best gift is not tongues and interpretation or utterance gift. The best gift is the power gift. Are you hearing me? And the power gift will walk through the revelation gift. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Always note that. The power gift is healing, miracles, and faith. Hallelujah. That's power gift. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's begin to close down with Jesus. Luke chapter 20. Some people saw us just do, whoo! My God, this guy is drunk. What's wrong with him? Well, we're following our master. Glory to God. We're just following our master. Hallelujah. That's how we yield to the Holy Ghost. There's a place of first responder. First responder is that man that responds and everybody follows. Hallelujah. That's the place of the first responder. We've done this study before. So a first responder is that one that yields first. There's always one first person to yield. And everybody yields. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Luke chapter. Let's open our Bible to Luke 10. Luke 10. Quickly. Okay, when the 70 returned in verse 17, verse 18, and they said to him, Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name. They were rejoicing. They came back rejoicing. Look at what they were doing. They were rejoicing. Woo! Woo! Yay! What happened? Say, Master, demons, come and look at miracles. Say, Master, you know, look at me, my brother, leave. Lord Jesus, as I was just talking, somebody that had blind eyes. He just opened, boom! And I just went, boom! Miracles are not the end. Miracles are only a sign to point to the real miracles.
Glory!
Are you ready? So when a believer begins to rejoice in miracles, he's losing sight of the real thing. The real thing is not the miracles done. The miracles done is because of a miracle that has taken place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? So miracles are a sign to point to the real miracle. And what is the real miracle? Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. So while they were doing this, I'm rejoicing. Jesus just looked at them and he said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven.
Hallelujah.
Behold, I give you power to tread upon snakes and scorpions and upon and over all the works of the enemy. And nothing shall by enemies hurt. He said, but nevertheless, in this rejoice not. Meaning Jesus told them, you don't rejoice at things like this. You don't rejoice for miracles. No. It is the one who received the miracle that should rejoice. But you don't rejoice for miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do I believe in miracles? And yes, I do. Because if I don't believe in miracles, then I don't believe in the miracle. Hey. I tell you, there is the miracle which I believe in. And every other miracle are pointing to the miracle. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, nevertheless, in this rejoice not. That demons are subject to you. Say, but rejoice. That your names are written in heaven. Look at that very well. Verse 20 says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. That spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Jesus changes what they should rejoice for. He changes what they should rejoice about. He said, don't rejoice for these miracles because everybody Jesus healed in his earthly ministry, they all died. Lazarus is not alive today. Lazarus is dead. Jairus' daughter is not alive today. They are dead because all those miracles pointed to the miracle. Are you hearing me? He said, don't rejoice in those. He said, but rejoice in the eternal truth that your name is alive. Rejoice for salvation. Hallelujah. Look at what Jesus did in verse 21. In that same hour, maybe while Jesus was yet talking to them, he not demonstrated it to them. And he said, in that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Somewhere we have the word agalio. Let me tell you what Jesus did. He is, you see, you call him Ancient of Days. Don't you call him Oliniatata? Call him every name. We're going to look at the names of God. Hallelujah. And we call him Abala, but the name you call Obala, the name you call Shongo, you call your God. He's not enough. He's revealed to us as the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus, the Ancient of Days. The one you say, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. The Word became flesh. Hallelujah. The Word at the beginning with God. He said, in that hour you rejoice. Agalio. That word for rejoice is the Greek word agalio. Agalio is a word. I'm going to give you a different word of how the word is used. Agalio means to throw your leg, scatter your leg in uncoordinated manner. Higher than it. It's just like when a child tries to walk. It's just like when a child is trying to walk and a child is trying to fall. You know, as though he's trotting. You know, that's agalio. Hallelujah. You are moving your leg uncoordinatedly. Reckless abandonment. Hallelujah. Your legs are all rhyming with your hands. Hallelujah. Something like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Father did it. Jesus did it. And he said, this is how we should. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! sit for a minute. Glory to God. The Lord God. The Lord God with God. God. John 1:18. He said, no man has seen God at any time.
He said, your only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained God.
Meaning what you find Jesus do
is what God does. Oh,
yeah. So when Jesus rejoices, God rejoices. In Psalms 2, he said, he that seated in heaven shall laugh.
You cannot say you are rejoicing and you are talking of it. He expressed joy.
And it came to pass, as he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem. He had told them earlier, before he was parted from them, that teaching them to observe all things, lo, I am with you to the end of age. Meaning, they are rejoicing. When they saw him leave, you know they were supposed to be sorrowful. How are you not left? But no, they understood the fact that leaving was the body of
glory.
Hallelujah. Are you following me? It was symbolic because I'm trying to remember the real name. Hallelujah. Now, that word mega, it means wild joy. Wild joy involves
God.
Listen, wild joy involves you go to laugh. Wild joy means that word wild joy means you'll be expressing everything. You're laughing. You're running. You just we're told to rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Zephaniah, he said he rejoices over us in singing. Hallelujah. He rejoices. So it is God's character. Hallelujah. And why should we rejoice? Why would they rejoice? Because he lives in them. It's an eternal truth. So we rejoice for eternal truth. We don't rejoice because money hits our account. No, most times we really don't have money in our account, but it doesn't determine our joy. Hallelujah. Our joy is you went out for evangelism and the soul just went. Over a soul that repents. He's not talking about just angels dancing around. No. It is you and I. You know something? When you go preach the gospel and someone gives his life, or someone receives salvation, rather, somebody receives salvation when you go preach the gospel, go on evangelism, go on outreach, and someone receives the gospel and is born again. Right. You know what? When you're done with your evangelism and you're done thanking God, make sure you don't eat that food. Hallelujah! 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 Rejoice in his heart. Hallelujah. You're singing. You're laughing. Rejoice. You're singing. We're laughing. Rejoice. We're the people of God.